Brethren, I look forward to this, as I trust you do also. This message that Brother Brown will bring to us. I think many of you know that Brother Brown and I were very small boys together in Phoenix many years ago now. You know, that's one of the compensations for growing old, is you can have old friends. And by the Lord's grace, we now feel as though we've been old brethren together in the Lord for many years. And we're glad that Brother Brown, Brother Burton, and Sister Ruth are again with us at this convention. We look forward to the message that he has for us from the Lord's Word. Forget not all his benefits.
Thank you, Brother Neal. Certainly we have some old friends around. And for those of us that are not so old, it's nice to be able to be with those that are older. Because they encourage the younger ones. It shows the maturity of Christian growth. And all during this past year, since the last New Year convention that we met, each time we come together, whether young or old, it's for a building up of one another in the most holy faith. And each midweek meeting or each Sunday meeting as we come together, it's to help us to encourage us to be more faithful in the carrying out of our covenant of sacrifice. And as we endeavor to encourage each other, we too individually want to be faithful in the carrying out of that sacrifice. And so it is that as we look back upon the year that is past, we've come to the last of this year. And we have much to be grateful for. The Lord, the truth, and the brethren. And we have much to be grateful for. Much gratitude. And the world, to a degree, can give gratitude to for the Lord's goodness. Many in the world are not so fortunate as we. But one of the reasons that we are so fortunate above all other peoples in the earth is because blessed are your eyes for they see. Blessed are your ears for they hear. Yes, there have been many righteous men, prophets, that have desired to see those things that ye see and have not seen them. But blessed are our eyes. And so it is that as we consider some of these things, we want to forget not all of his benefits toward us. And when we first came together this past 3 days, we came to hear some of the thoughts that we will eventually encounter in 1985. And we were welcomed with wonderful words by our Brother Meal. And we heard of our legacy of the truth. And what a wonderful legacy it is. And because of that, we have received a vision of the plan of God. Yes, God has showed us the light. And when he has showed us the light, we have said, yes, we've answered his call, my son, give me thine heart. And because we have given the Lord our heart, we love good works. And because we do love these good works, he says, I am with thee. Wonderful words of truth. I am with thee. And because of he is with us, we have our joy in the Lord. But we do have to watch, because we have those little foxes, that spoil the vine. And because of this, there are at times suffering, enduring for righteousness' sake. And as Abraham saw my day, we heard of a tale of two cities. And one of the results of that city that comes down from God out of heaven, the world will receive the resurrection. And so it is that we forget not all his benefits toward us. And in the book of Psalms, the Psalms were really the inspired prayer and praise book of Israel. And even today, the Jews use the Psalms in their services. And many of the Psalms, we know, are prophetic of the sufferings of the faith. But they are the revelations of truth in terms of human experience. The promises of the Psalms disclose the mind of God, and what a wonderful mind it is. It discloses his will for us, and it exercises his heart toward those who are not only in covenant relationship with him, but it assists those who are perplexed and distressed and are cast down. And so we have some thoughts in the Psalms that we would like to consider this evening. In the 95th Psalm, as we reflect back on the year just past, we read that we are to come, let us sing unto the Lord and make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And we need not go into any detail as to who we know that wonderful rock is, because it's upon that foundation that we build our hope, that hope for the future. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He is our Lord. He is our God. Yes, and he can do all things. His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Beautiful words to think that our Heavenly Father, our God, Creator of heavens and earth, calls us the people of his pasture. Israel had many thank offerings to God, but whoever it is that presents to the Lord real offerings of thanksgiving, lips of praise, these must follow with something that's more substantial. And this is intimated in the words of the psalmist when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Not with my lips only, but with my entire being, our entire lives. We are to bless the Lord. And with these words, along with the psalmist, we say, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. And it's interesting to look up this word, bless. And in other texts, it means to kneel. Kneel down. And so we read also, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. A psalm that is one of my favorites, we'd like to consider a bit this evening. It expresses our appreciation for His goodness to us. It's the 103rd Psalm, where the psalmist tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. And what have been the benefits that we have received from the hands of the Lord this past year? We each one can count our own benefits. Yes, if it's nothing more, it's for a knowledge of the truth, the plans and purposes of God. It's this knowledge that gives us a peace that passeth all understanding, a peace that the world cannot give, a peace that the world cannot take away. And so the psalmist continues, He who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes, renewed like the eagles. Reminds us of a text in Isaiah, the 41st chapter, or the 40th chapter. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 31st verse. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that reverence Him. And what a merciful God He is to usward who revere Him. For as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Why? For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. And so as we forget not all of His benefits, we have entered into this covenant of sacrifice with our Lord. And in the 18th verse, He says, To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Yes, He's prepared His throne. And for those who shall be faithful, who will be faithful, these will sit with our Lord, our Savior, on His throne. Even as He is overcome and sat down with the Father in His throne. And they shall be kings and priests, and they shall reign with Him the 1,000 years. And I like that text, Revelation. King James says they shall live and reign 8,000 years. But the Diaglot puts that little article in there. They shall live and reign the 1,000 years of the mediatorial reign when the church is complete. And so it is, we forget not all these benefits that the Lord has given to us. And in the 65th Psalm, he tells us in the 11th verse, Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. And so it is that as we have come together these last 3 days, he's crowned the year with his goodness. And we've been blessed by being here. This word crownest, however, has a more meaningful thought to it. It means to encircle for protection. And is not this what the Lord has done for us? He's encircled our year. Yes, it's even as our Lord said when he was about to be crucified. He said that he could have call upon 12 legions of angels. They were encircling him. All he needed to do was to call upon them. But the angel of the Lord encircles you, encircles me. They're there for our protection and our providential overruling. And so he has encircled our years with goodness, and we have been well favored. And as we review the leadings of divine providence of the past year, how thankful we are for these blessings which have encircled our year. Paul expresses this more in detail in his letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians, the first chapter, reading from the third verse, Paul tells us, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ. And so as we meet together during the week on Sundays, we meet together in the heavenlies. Yes, we are in the heavenlies. And that's where we receive the blessings. Gather my saints together unto me, and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, because here we are in the heavenlies, receiving light from the golden candlestick with the oil of the Holy Spirit. We're feeding upon that wonderful table of showbread, two piles, Old and the New Testament. Yes, and we can even offer sacrifices of praise to him. And when are we to do that? Remember back there in the tabernacle picture, Aaron offered the sacrifice of praise continually. Morning and evening he offered the incense. And so it is that we are to offer this incense morning and evening, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's God's will that we have come into this relationship. Yes, these things which were before determined by him, predestinated, are brought to pass because we have been brought into this family of God as sons of God. We're placed as a son. Yes, we've been predestinated under this sonship of children by Jesus according to God's good pleasure. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have deliverance through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in the Christ. I like that. The Diaglot tells us that. He's going to gather together all things in the Christ. Can't do it until the Christ is completed. As we heard on our platform, the church must be completed. And then they will be gathered together, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Yes, this mystery of His will was made known unto us. And who is it that the mystery is revealed to? Well, again, we read in the Psalms that the secrets of the Lord are with those who reverence Him, and He will show them His covenants. And what are these secrets? They're really the simple things, the simple plan of God. Creation, fall, ransom, restitution, the church's share in the sufferings of Christ in the sin offering, subject of the covenants. We know where the covenants put us on the stream of time. The judgment day, blessing of all the families of the earth, the restitution of all things, spoken by the mouth of all God's holy prophets since the world began, the secrets of the Lord. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. These are the things which only the people of God may appreciate. And having an insight into God's outline for man, we have a hope for the future, this hope which the world knows not of. And so it is that the Lord tells us in the 14th chapter of John, the 27th verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so it is that with this peace of God, we have another kind of peace, more than just a tranquility of mind. We do have a tranquility of mind that the world does not have. Again, it's been brought out several times on the platform, how the earth, the world, is so distressed, distraught, not knowing which way to turn. Mighty men of earth cannot solve their own problems. But we're blessed also by another peace that the world does not have. And this is the peace of reconciliation. It's being made right with God. It's even as the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter. Remember what he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk, those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." And this peace is the peace of reconciliation. This being made right with God. Reconciliation is justification. And who else is it that comes into this relationship? Only to those whom he has shown his covenant. And so it is that if in our experiences, in our daily lives, we may have problems, we may have difficulties, troubles, and we do. We're in the world, but we're not to be part of it. And we're still in the flesh, although we're not to walk as though we're in the flesh, but to walk as in the day. Walk as we're in the Spirit. However, as we realize that we do have these problems, they are really but blessings in disguise. For as the Apostle tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Yes, and these eternal things are the things for which we hope. And we realize that as problems may develop, we have to remember the promises of God, one of which, "All things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose." Do we know that all things work together for good? Sometimes we say, "Why does this happen to me? Why did it happen to our Lord? His persecution, his sufferings." It was for the development of him as a new creation. The head of the new creation. Our experiences are for the same thing. We must follow in his steps. And so the Apostle says, "I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." And so, in proper retrospect, we are to forget not those things which the Lord has done for us. And when we forget not, it enables us to render thanks for the past and to see that our deliverance draweth nigh. And we're so much closer to that time than when we first believed. We're not really to look back, not be like Lot's wife who desired the things of the earth, But we are to give thanks for the things for each day. Yes, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Some who name the name of Christ give thanks for their temporal goodness, mercies, and they attempt to peer into the darkness, generally with little success, little comfort, little hope. But this is because they have not come into this relationship with the Heavenly Father. They have not brought themselves under His protecting care. And how have we done this? It's through faith. Yes, by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Faith is a thing perhaps that we take much for granted. But it's a vital influence in our lives. Remember, all men have not faith. But again, blessed are your eyes, for they see. See the things that have been promised to us in the Holy Word. And so, those that do look forward to the promises of God, these see His leadings upon whom His goodness is circled every feature of life. These are the true Zion class. And so it is that we again read in the Psalms, the 65th Psalm, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed." In Zion is where God chiefly displays His mercies, and it's where He receives homage. In Psalm 61, 5 and 8, He says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform thy vows." And what are these vows that we are to perform? Well, again, the beautiful Psalms tell us. In the Psalms 116, beginning the 12th verse, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? In the beginning of a new year, it's a good time to make resolutions. I know that we all endeavor to make resolutions. David was a man after God's own heart, with whom the Lord was dealing as a servant. But he showed his appreciation to God's goodness by this vow. And with how much greater appreciation we can repeat these same words, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people." We're going to have that opportunity a little bit later on to tell the Lord of our vows, of His goodness toward us in the year past. And for all of His benefits, we render our praise and thanks for this cup of salvation. For David, it was whatever experiences God permitted to come to him But for us, it has a much deeper meaning. It's a symbolic cup, this cup of salvation. We have any number of scriptures that tell us about the cup of salvation, realizing, of course, that it's a symbolic cup. But in Jude, we have the text where Jude, who was the servant of Jesus Christ, speaking to those of the brethren, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write of you, unto you, of the common salvation." And I like the diaglot rendering again. "When I gave all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Yes, and as we think of this salvation which is ours, we realize that salvation is a present reality. It's not something which, if all goes well, eventually will be given to the believer. But it's really incapable of being realized in all its fullness here and now. Now we enjoy the earnest of the Spirit. But only in the hereafter will the complete experience be possible. It's even as the Apostle Paul tells us in the second chapter of Hebrews. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" That salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So great salvation. And so as we take this cup of salvation, we sometimes think, well, our Lord pours the cup. God pours the cup. Remember what our Lord said on that night just before he was crucified. "The cup which my Father hath poured, shall I not drink it?" Yes. And the Father has poured the same cup for you and for me. As we do, we call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help in every time of need. Pay my vows now in the presence of all his people. Daily we do these things which please him. And in doing these, we run with patience the race that is set before us. And how much patience we need. Patience in all things. Pressing down upon the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And as we press down upon that mark, he says, "Lay aside every weight, every hindrance, which does so easily beset." Doing with our might what our hands find to do. Yes, withhold not thy hand, whether it be this or that. And so as we Let our light so shine, giving all the praise and honor to Him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of His gospel. We have so much to be thankful for this privilege of cooperating together as body members in the Christ, telling the world of the coming kingdom. And how do we do it? We have to acknowledge the brethren that are so faithfully giving of their time at the dawn, wherever. But really, who is the dawn? The dawn isn't only 25 people that are back there in East Rutherford. The dawn is you, and me, those who are cooperating together. And so it is that it's up to us to show forth His praises. Let the world know that there is hope for the future. And for those who do drink of His cup faithfully, He says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." You know, death is an enemy. But nothing that befalls us is by accident. And can we believe that this is true? Yes, we've quoted the scripture, "All things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose. And this is the only time that death is ever called precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is death of His saints. Because it's only as they gather beyond the veil that eventually the marriage of the Lamb will take place and blessings will begin to flow to all mankind. So for these, there are these promised blessings also of drinking the cup of joy, of living and reigning with Christ 1,000 years. And to these He says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome, and am sat down with my Father on his throne. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And all the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." Oh, what cause we have for giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. And as we consider these things, how He has encircled our year with His goodness, let us each make plenty of good resolves for the year to come. Those resolves respecting what we may do, what we may suffer, what we may experience in our fellowship with the Lord, in our fellowship with the brethren. And may we make it the best year of our consecrated lives, the year of our largest hopes, endeavors, the year of the largest in self-sacrificing, of overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. Remembering that as we are submissive to the divine will, remember that it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. and that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. What wonderful promises these are. God working in you, and he is going to perform it. All we need to do is faithfully lay down our lives to him, completely, even as did our Lord. And then, when we reach the end of our course, whenever that may be, and we know not when, I know not what awaits me, God kindly veils our eyes. Yes, and some of the experiences that we may encounter in the coming year will not be pleasant. Some will be pleasant. But when we hear the words of the Master at the end of our course, hearing him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord," we can be assured that he has been faithful and has promised. And may the Lord continue to guide and direct each one of us. Let each one of us help the other to be faithful in the year ahead. May the Lord add his blessing.
I'm sure we're grateful to Brother Brown for calling our attention to these great benefits that we have been the recipients of. Before we ask Brother Burton to close with prayer and also to ask the Lord's blessing upon this refreshment and fellowship period, we would like to ask if any need transportation yet this evening, or any that have not arranged for transportation on the morrow. The brethren have prepared refreshments for you in the adjoining room, and while you partake, may you remember some of all these benefits that Brother Burton has called to our attention. Would you ask, Lord?
Our glorious and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the conclusion of three wonderful days, fellowship with thee and with our brethren, we thank thee for the privilege that we have had of drawing apart from the world and its cares to consider those things that are found in thy holy word. We thank thee for thy Holy Spirit that has been poured out in our midst. We thank thee also for the knowledge that we have of thy plans and thy purposes, of thy coming kingdom. And we do pray that as we endeavor to lay our lives down faithfully unto thee, that we may have a share in that kingdom if we are found faithful. We do look forward to the time when thy kingdom shall come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And as we wait for that coming kingdom, we do pray that the things we do and say may be pleasing to thee, that thou wilt forgive us when we come so far short of doing thy holy will. And as we now wait before thee, we do again thank thee for the fellowship of kindred minds. We thank thee for the provisions that have been made for us this evening, and we ask that thou wilt continue to guide and direct us, not only us here, but our brethren the world over, all those endeavoring to serve thee in spirit and in truth everywhere, those going through difficult experiences, those who have trials that are known only to thee. We pray these favors and these blessings upon them also. And now as we wait before thee, we continue to seek thy blessings as we endeavor to walk faithfully before thee in this coming year, in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen.